on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever.
Woo! Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Back here at the Family Leisure Studios, 8:04 the time. Eli and Jay with you on this Monday morning. Good to have you with us here on Sports 56 Mornings. Been talking a lot of NBA playoffs so far. Got a couple of text messages we're going to get to here in just a moment. If you want to join us on the program, you can. 901-360-8255. That is the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. 901-360-8255 is the phone number for you to call or text us on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. Family Leisure right now, Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo going on. Check them out over at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Currently 74 degrees, on our way up to a high in the mid-80s today. There is a chance of some thunderstorms this afternoon and this evening as well. Really, over the next few days, got some chance of some rain and thunderstorms. By the end of the week, a little bit of a cool down as well. High is Friday right now, looking to be right around the 60 mark. That's right, just a high of 60 as we really get near May and into May here. Some cooler temperatures on their way, it looks like, for the end of this week. We've got coming up in a little bit, we're going to talk some NFL draft. We've been talking some NBA playoffs. We're having the conversation about Kevin Durant there at the end of the first hour. And a couple of texts coming in. Keith says, KD's kind of crazy. Talks about himself in third person. Yeah, again, he's weird. He's a weird cat.
I mean, Ricky Henderson was a third-person guy, too. So.
And he was a weird cat. Yeah, again, it's true. Like, the burner situation, all the social, like, KD's weird.
The burner situation was one where he wanted to open up, but he felt like it wasn't proper for him to do so. And after a while, he just said, the hell with it. And he just started letting it fly.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Again, and that hurts him in a lot of people's eyes, too, because there's like, this is kind of a, he's just kind of a weird dude.
And to me, that made him cooler, because it's like, after he said, the hell with it, you're getting it in real time with KD.
Another texter here says, you're 100% correct. KD is an all-time talent scorer, but he is not an all-time icon. He's never been the guy on a championship team, not even the guy on a finals team. He was the guy at Oklahoma City. Westbrook was really good. Harden was really good. But there's no doubt Durant was the guy on that team.
Dude, right.
That was his team.
And he said that he's not an iconic. Well, George Gervin was an iconic scorer, too.
That's what he said. There's a difference in an all-time talent and icon status. KD is the all-time talent, but not an icon.
I disagree.
See, I don't... I understand. Like, I don't know what the category of guy is where that separation between literally like all time great, like elite guy. But I do feel like there's that other little category of guys. And I wonder if KD is that without, again, a championship team that we look at as his team.
The thing that's funny to me about that is that they went to the Hamptons to recruit the man.
Oh, like, listen.
So it's like they obviously felt that he was needed.
Well, everybody thought he was needed. Brooklyn thought he was needed. Right. That didn't work out. Houston or Phoenix thought he was needed. That didn't work out. Houston thought he was needed. We'll see how this works out. It ain't looking good right now.
But if Golden State didn't need the man, they wouldn't have took their top guys to the Hamptons over the holiday weekend to recruit the man.
Well, there's no doubt that getting him ensured them basically of being almost unbeatable. Seemingly, with him, I think there's a lot of people that just look at him a little bit differently because of that. And again, it's hurting because the last now we'll see we'll see how it ends up in Houston. It doesn't look like he's going to win a title in Houston.
Yeah, but I go back to the whole Golden State thing. People say this now in the aftermath after they went to three finals and won two with them. I go back to July 4th of 2016. He made grown men cry by signing with Golden State.
Oh, yeah.
There was an uproar about unfair. It was almost worse than what the decision was because we saw him going to a team that just won 73 games, but they didn't win a championship.
He says all-time icons, MJ, LeBron, Kobe. Yeah, I think you could put Magic.
Doc.
Doc,
Larry,
Bird,
Shaq.
But again, but all of them were the guy on a title team.
Okay.
Multiple title teams for most of those guys.
But here's my thing when we come to that. Does that take away from him being a two-time NBA champion and two-time finals MVP?
No.
Can't.
It doesn't take away from that, but I do think most people will agree with that there's a separating factor between KD and the guys we look at just differently.
And in both of those championship wins, he got dagger jumpers over one of icons.
No, again, that's
outplayed in one of those series.
On the floor, there you can't ever question anything about that. The dude is maybe the just pure scorers. He's in an elite group of guys that is very small.
I think he's the purest scorer, not named Michael.
I mean, just again, when you're 6'11" or whatever, it could shoot like that. Like it's impossible to guard you because you could just shoot over the top of pretty much anybody that's ever played trying to guard you. But yeah, the problem now everywhere he goes, it seems to end kind of ugly.
Yeah.
And that just, again, it's everywhere he goes. And really? Maybe he's seriously hurt. And obviously, when he tried to play at Golden State with the injury, we know what happened. But, man, your team down 2-0 on your home floor. And again, he was listed as questionable. That's what gets it for me.
Yeah.
He's listed as questionable. Right. You mean to tell me if you are truly questionable, you can't give it a go?
Right. Questionable to us is like you're about to play.
Like, that means they're literally, they don't know that you're there's a good chance you will play. The Grizzlies, every time a guy's listed as questionable, seemingly he plays. A player like that listed as questionable, to me, I just assumed he would play that game. I thought he would play game 3 for sure. Last night, after down 3-0, I was like, well, now he's probably given up. Like, he's checked out. He doesn't care. And I think when it's all said and done, I would also like to hear from some of his teammates and how they will view Kevin Durant truly, and get some truth out of them. Like, how will some of these guys view Kevin Durant as a teammate? I think that will say a lot about it too.
They will say that will say.
And I don't know what they'll say.
And we will get those, of course, on player podcasts.
Yes.
They won't get those on a mainstream forum and nothing like that. So we have to be kind of on the lookout. But even with that, some of them will play it safe. They'll kind of play it safe. They'll, be careful in how they answer, but they won't try to destroy him. If it's something that they've got in a negative, they'll try to convey it in the best positive way because they know that he's going to respond.
Well, yeah, gosh, once his playing days are done, who knows what he'll be saying about players and people.
He may do what Gilbert Arenas did and just make his own studio at his house and set up there.
Yeah, that'll be definitely a one to watch as far as he is concerned, and he'll still be probably talking third person. All right, the NFL draft. Of course, on Friday, we were here talking about what had happened in round 1, but still had plenty to go as rounds 2 through 7 still had to take place. First, on the local front, congratulations again goes out to the local guys who were drafted. Jake Golday, who we knew would be going at some point on Friday night, didn't know for sure when, but figured it would be round 2 or 3. He goes number 51 overall, so round 2 for Jake Golday, the former Arlington High School standout, played at Cincinnati. He goes number 51. He goes to the Minnesota Vikings. I was actually looking at various stuff about the draft. Jordan Reed on ESPN.com, they were doing all their reviews and everything else, answering a bunch of questions about the draft. And the question was, one developmental pick to watch. And he listed Jake Golday as his guy because he said he may not get on the field because of the Minnesota's pretty good at that position, may not get on the field a ton this coming year, but he said he believes he can be outstanding in the future. Also, Justin Jefferson out of Bartlett, who was at Alabama, 5th-round selection, number 149 overall. He goes to Cleveland. And Kieron Crawford, who played at Raleigh, Egypt, and Briarcrest, then went on to Auburn. He was 3rd-round, 67th overall. He goes to the Raiders. So 3 kids with high school ties to the area. that all get drafted in the NFL draft. You had Travis Burke from the University of Memphis, the offensive tackle. He goes fourth round, number 117 overall to the Chargers. So the Tigers do have one player drafted in this. Some undrafted free agent updates. Cortez Braham, he's going to the Ravens minicamp. Greg DeWosier, he's going to the Chargers minicamp. Some other high school kids from the area that are going to minicamps. Bryson Eason, Whitehaven, who played at Tennessee, he's going to be with the 49ers. Lincoln Perry, out of Houston High School, who played at Arkansas State and then Texas State, he's going with the Colts. And Izavion Miller, who played at Wooddale and then played at Auburn, he is going with the Cleveland Browns to their camp to try and earn a spot there as an undrafted free agent. So those are some of the local ties. Some of the other stuff from the NFL draft. It's really weird to me because a lot of the teams who have perennially been terrible and usually draft really poorly seem to have done really, really well in this one.
I was looking at some of that over the
like, if you look at the draft rates, everybody loves the Jets draft.
That's all the Jets is what made me take notice. Like, okay, the Jets are doing non-Jet things right now. That's good.
The Browns, like everybody seems to really like what the Browns did. I'm like, what's going on? The Giants are a team that a lot of people had like. The Raiders, again, when you got the number one overall pick, you better do it. But the Raiders, we talked on Friday about Jermaine McCoy. Fell out of the first round. I thought for sure Friday night he's getting drafted. Like, I don't care. Barring, like, you look at this, I swear, I don't even know, like, does his leg need to be amputated or what? Like, how bad can your knee be that, as what most some people will tell you, is a top 10 talent, and you don't even go in the third round. You don't even go in the top 100 picks of the draft. That blows my mind.
Like you said, the knee had been literally coming off of his leg.
I know the people that did the stuff, they tell me it's fine. And he said, like, if the Raiders want me to undergo another procedure, I will. If he can be healthy at all, and, like, he literally can be a number one cornerback.
Yeah.
That the Raiders got in the fourth round of the draft.
That's quite the steal.
I mean, we'll see how that turns out. That could turn out to be an unbelievable steal for the Raiders. And even if, I'll say this, say the knee ends up, like, say, like, he never even gets on the field. I would never fault the Raiders for taking that chance.
I was just about to say, that's not a bust situation because you got him in the fourth round.
At
everybody
some point,
passed up on him. You got him on a few great coupons.
Yeah. At some point, you got the talent meter over here and you got the risk meter over here, and the talent just outweighs the risk because you're like, it's the fourth round. We are willing to take a fourth round risk on a guy that literally should have been a first-round pick, or it could have been a top-10 pick if he was fully healthy.
I think the sports guy is going to grant him some favor with this one, too.
Now, I will say this. Jermaine McCoy probably should have went back to Tennessee for another year. Prove you're healthy. Prove what you are. And then he probably would have been if he could have stayed healthy. But the Raiders, to me, I thought had a great draft. I thought they were absolutely fantastic. I hate the fact that the Giants and the Eagles both, as a Cowboys fan, I thought both did really, really well. The Eagles, with their draft, but also the trade for Jonathan Greenard. I mean, that's a great, great pick.
Howie strikes again.
Man, they got Eli Stowers in the second round. I love Eli Stowers, not just because his name's Eli. I think that dude, as a pass catcher, he's not a blocking tight end by any means, but in the NFL anymore, like, you don't need to, like, right, you'll have your blocking tight ends,
right,
and then you got your pass catching tight ends.
Right.
That dude is, I think he is an absolute weapon in an offense. And the Eagles get him in the second round. I'm like, God, why do the Eagles have to continue to do this to me?
It's great GM up front, man. Howie's a Hall of Fame GM.
And people are still being critical of the Cowboys for doing the trade with them to let them get Mekhi Lemon. Again, I'll say that. I don't care.
It was good business.
If you could get 2 fourth-round picks to move down 3 spots.
Yeah, that was good business.
I'll do it. I don't care who the other team is.
And you got the guy that you wanted anyway?
Yeah. Yeah. If there was another team offering the same thing, I would say, yeah, do the other team. But I don't care if the Eagles were the ones offering it, nobody else was, I'll do it anytime. I was surprised to see Deshaun Stribling of Ole Miss in that first pick of the second round of the 49ers. I did not see him as the next wide receiver off the board. I don't think anybody had him as the next wide receiver off the board.
Nah, but hey, it's a local product. We're happy for him.
Yeah, good for him. The guy that most people had as the next receiver they thought would come off the board was Denzel Boston. And of course, I don't even know. Like, he goes number 39, and Mike Greenberg on the coverage says, talks about his dad, the former first-round pick, David Boston.
I saw that clip.
And I was, like, I'm watching it. When he said it, I went, wow. I was like, man, I hadn't, like, how in the world have I, through this whole process, like, people have talked a lot about Denzel Boston. As well, a lot of people thought he could be a first-round receiver, all this stuff. I'm like, I've heard a lot of people talk about Denzel Boston. How have I never heard them mention that his dad was David Boston? Like, that seems like something you would mention. Like, pretty good bloodlines. He's got good bloodlines, good receiver. Like, maybe teams will take a chance. And then, immediately, like, I go on Twitter and they're like, yeah, Mike Greenberg just said David Boston's his dad. They are not related.
Because I immediately went to Wikipedia. Because I'm thinking the same when I saw the clip. I'm like, oh, I didn't know David Boston had a son.
I'm like, what in the world? Like,
Greeny, come on, Greeny.
Like, how did he get that information? And, like, it just, like, and the thing is, so then I keep watching and I'm like, okay, like, because it was on Twitter, like, immediately. And, like, okay. It's blowing up. Like, everyone's like, what is he talking about? And I'm like, well, they're going to correct this. Like, they went to, like, a commercial break. I'm like, as soon as they come back, like, somebody just got in his ear. Was like, dude, what are you talking about? That's not David Boston's kid.
They got it wrong all the way.
And, like, an hour later, maybe even an hour and a half later, finally, Greenberg says, by the way, earlier, I mentioned that Denzel Boston's dad was David Boston, and I was incorrect in that information. Like, how did it take an hour and a half to get to the point of apologizing? Somebody should have been like, no, dude. Like, what are you talking about? I want to know, did he just get this information? Did somebody get, who gave him this information? Like, how in the world do you screw something up that bad?
Especially not in a scenario where you're, like, lighthearted joking about it. Because I know for the last, since 2015, anytime I refer to Baker Mayfield, I always refer to him as the illegitimate grandson of Curtis Mayfield, just for fun,
yes.
Just for the kicks of it. But I always make sure that I put that in there. Just, he's not related to Curtis, y'all. I don't know none of this. It's just a fun little deal. But that's what that reminded me of. It's like, did somebody tell you this, or this just sounded cool for you?
I don't even know how that happens, quite honestly. With just the staff,
bad information.
With the amount of staff and everything else they have working the NFL draft on ESPN, how he gets, even says it to begin with, I don't know. And how it isn't immediately corrected, like somebody in his ear going, dude, no, you are wrong. Correct that now. That is not true at all. That's amazing to me.
And then to go the whole hour, like you said, let it rely by the whole hour.
I'm like, are they still like, nobody has told him? Nobody's told him that he's got the dude's dad wrong? Nobody thought, hey, Mike. Incorrect, buddy. Crazy. Crazy stuff.
That's a Northwestern education for you.
Man, then, of course, we're all wondering what the next quarterbacks would be. And talked to Joe DeLeon on Friday. And he, and a lot of other people, they actually thought Garrett Nussmeier there's a good chance Nussmeier would be the next quarterback. Well, Nussmeier doesn't go to the seventh round. Number 249 to Kansas City. No, instead, quarterback 3 is Carson Beck as Arizona takes him to lead off round number 3. Then Drew Aller goes to Pittsburgh in round 3 at number 76. So the two teams that really needed, get Pittsburgh, there's the thought that Aaron Rodgers will be back, but don't know that for sure. Arizona, we know they need a quarterback. Pittsburgh needs a quarterback, certainly of the future. So they both get these quarterbacks. You know, these are guys that before the season, were looked at as possible first-round selections. Beck, I don't know that anybody thought Beck would be that next quarterback. Cade Klubnik ends up going in the fourth round. He was a guy before the season people thought could be the number one overall pick of this draft. So those big-time name quarterbacks started going. But again, Nussmeier doesn't go till number 249. Talen Green out of Arkansas goes number 182 to the Browns. Again, a lot of people like the Browns draft. The one thing I will say, and Talen Green is an unbelievable physical specimen.
Great athlete, yeah.
I don't know why the Browns just keep drafting quarterbacks, though. They just can't quit drafting quarterbacks. Stop drafting quarterbacks.
It's kind of why they're in this position annually, Eli.
So now they're back to four quarterbacks again. You got Deshaun Watson, who theoretically will play again someday. I don't know. Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, and now they add Talen Green. I don't know what the hell they're doing. I really don't know what they're doing. We had 9 tight ends and 17 wide receivers taken in the first 3 rounds of the draft. There was a while there Friday night. It felt like every other pick was a tight end. I was like, wow, we are on a tight end binge right now. This is crazy. Some of them were like, this guy was projected like 5th round. Like, teams got caught up in drafting tight ends. Like, I don't know. Everybody's drafting tight ends. It's like when you're doing your fantasy draft. Oh, crap. All the tight ends are going. I got to get a tight end.
Get a tight end.
Like, it's like just all of a sudden it was like tight end. There's another tight end. I'm like, okay, whatever. 17 wide receivers first round. That's a record. Mr. Irrelevant is Red Murdoch. Linebacker out of Buffalo. He goes to Denver at number 257. There were only 3 non-Power 4 players taken in the top 100.
Wow. Yeah, money talks, man.
Exactly. And there's no doubt that the talent, that because those guys that used to be in the non-Power 4s who became really good, and they would stay there and actually could get drafted. Well, now they leave for that final year, go get paid. 3 of the top 100 non-Power 4 players. And then the SEC, who did not have the most first-rounders, did have the most overall players drafted. So they do keep that record intact. That's pretty much an every year deal, but it was the first time since whatever 2015, I guess, they didn't have the most first round selections. The Big Ten had that. The SEC ends up with 87 players selected. Big Ten had 68. ACC 38. Big 12 38. Independents 7. And how about this? From the non-Power 4 conferences, the most selections was the MAC with 4. FCS matched them.
I can believe that.
The FCS had more teams or more players drafted than the American Conference.
Yeah, I can believe that.
The American had 3, Mountain West 3, Sun Belt 2, Conference USA 1, and there was 1 international selection. Ohio State with 11 players. They were number 1 as far as schools go. Alabama and Texas A&M both had 10. Clemson, Texas Tech, Miami all with 9. Georgia, Indiana with 8, Florida, Penn State, Oregon, Iowa, Washington, Oklahoma, LSU all had 7 players drafted in this draft. But the SEC and the Power 4, this just in, they're still producing talent.
They're pretty damn good out there.
They've got some good players. And it's only getting, again, that separation's only getting larger and larger and larger with the money situation. But speaking of that money situation, especially as it pertains to the SEC, I want to get into what Arkansas, the decision that Arkansas made over the weekend. That's pretty crazy to think that a school with that much money is the one that has to make this type of decision. We'll talk about that when we come back here on Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Genuine diamonds, baby.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Look about 8:32 the time. here in the Family Leisure Studios. No Greg today. So over the weekend, I don't know if it was Friday. I don't remember what. I think it was Friday that the news came, the situation came from, or the decision from Arkansas to cut their men's and women's tennis programs. When all of this revenue sharing and everything else first was decided, that the whole thought was like, what does this mean for non-revenue sports? And I think it was Brandon Marcello who tweeted out like what the cost for the tennis programs was versus revenue generated. And it's like, it's mind-boggling. I mean, tennis brings in no money, like nothing. I think it was $2 or $3 million cost versus literally a few thousands of revenue.
Wow.
But here's the deal. Last year, the SEC, in their revenue checks to all the schools, was an average of, because some are a little bit different because of Oklahoma and Texas still don't give up, whatever. Basically, it was $72 million per school given out by the SEC based from their TV revenue, bowl game, NCAA, all that stuff, all that revenue generated that goes into the pot. They're writing $72 million checks to each one of those universities. If a school like Arkansas can't afford to have tennis programs, how the hell is Memphis or any of the others supposed to have any of those sports?
Right. And especially, like you said, when they draw in nothing, you know, it's, oh, man.
They're getting a $72 million check beyond all the stuff that they get from their donors and everything else. They just get from their conference a $72 million check. And they're telling you, we can't afford tennis.
They just don't want tennis.
I mean, I it feels like this is the, you kind of waited for one of these the big power conference schools to just admit that, no, these aren't worth it to us. And now you wonder, are we going to see a lot of this?
I think we might start seeing some of these. I don't know if it's going to come in the avalanche form, but I think we're going to see more.
I mean,
especially from the SEC schools, ironically.
There's you can't, if you're the University of Memphis, if you're a non-power conference school, and I don't even know what – I can't remember what Memphis is getting from the conference. Now, I can't remember what it was last year. It's nowhere – it's like – I think maybe around $10 million, something like that. If an SEC school is telling you that men's and women's tennis is not worth – they can't afford to spend the money on it, these non-power schools are – they have to be oh. Well, hell, if they're doing it.
And we're not just talking. We're talking an SEC school that we know has some real weight behind it.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're not even talking about that thing, the money they get from Tyson and all that stuff. This is just $72 million from the conference. They can't, again, because I think the expenditures, I'll have to look it up from Marcello. It was $2 or $3 million. Again, the spending versus revenue, completely out of whack. But when you go, wait a second. You were written a $72 million check by your conference. Taking $2 or $3 million of that for your tennis program is just too much.
Don't want tennis. They just don't
they want to make sure that $2 or $3 million could go to football and basketball.
Yeah.
They literally don't want anything. Every last cent they want to be able to dedicate to those sports. And when you've got John Calipari, he's going to make sure he gets what he – and on the football side, they're trying to compete in the SEC. But that is a – I couldn't believe it. I was like, really? We've got an SEC school cutting programs because they can't afford it or whatever.
Or claim they can't afford it.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. There had to be ADs across America going, oh.
Really?
This is what we're doing now?
Okay.
Well, hey, I've got and I have no idea how much it costs for each sport. But, I mean, you look at the tennis programs and the golf programs and the whatever.
Your bowling program.
Track. Yeah, all these things. Yeah. If you're just doing it on a line item deal of how much it costs versus how much it brings in, those, it's you're it's negative. It's a big thing. And if it's only like, again, it, this wasn't like $20 million that you're spending on it. It's a few million. If you're not willing to do that, then we could see a lot of programs that are cut. And that's really unfortunate.
That's going to be sad, man.
For tennis players out there, for golfers, for track and field, whatever it is. Because if it becomes where these power conference schools just say, yeah, this is just it. We are not willing to waste money anywhere. We want to make sure it is all available for football and basketball. It's crazy. Doug texted in and he said, he said, for what I read was, it was, yeah, $2.5 million a year was the cost. The revenue was around $3,500. So again, you look at that and you go, well, yeah, I mean, business wise, that's a bad deal.
Yeah, I understand.
But in the grand scheme of things, you go, wait a second. That's basically a $2 million loss. Just over $2 million loss. I don't know what the overall athletic budget is at Arkansas right now. But again, I know they got $72 million from their conference. And that's only going up in the future. In a few years, that's going to be $100 million that they're going to start cashing checks from the conference.
Right, because I remember about 7, 8 years ago, they were like at 45 with this, you know, so.
And you're telling me that you couldn't handle the $2 million loss?
You don't want it.
That's.
They just looked at it like, hey, it's expendable, scrap it.
And Doug says somebody should check Coach Cal's clothing allowance to see if it went up by several hundred thousand. I don't know, man. I'll be interested to see. But again, if you're – how is a non-power conference – if that is the cost of doing – say that is the cost of doing business to have tennis programs. And I assume that Arkansas wasn't like crazy overspending on tennis. Like that's just the cost of doing business for tennis. And we know you're not going to bring any money in. Nobody's going to tennis matches. You're not bringing in like crowds.
Yeah, no crowds.
I don't know if it costs to go to a college. It's probably just free. It just doesn't like. I don't know. Like I don't know how you.
The tennis team's not chartering when they travel. They fly commercial.
Like if you're the University of Memphis, how can you justify that type of loss? If Arkansas says they can't justify that type of loss, or if you're Bowling Green, I don't know if they have tennis or not. I assume they like, or what, a Sun Belt school. How can you afford that if Arkansas says they can't?
When they pretty much triple, quadruple, if not more, of your budget.
Oh, it's at least probably four times, probably four or five times.
Right.
Texas, I don't think they get the $72 million ones. Oh, no, yeah, that was last year's disbursement. Yeah. The 24-25 disbursement was $72 million. Again, not all schools get the exact same amount. Some, like if you make the college football playoff, there's a little bit more stuff. There's, like Texas and Oklahoma aren't getting complete full shares yet.
Right, for being new members.
So but the average of the old members and everything like is $72 million. And again, that's not from donors. That's not Tyson Foods donation. That's not sponsorship. That's just conference TV money, bowl money, NCAA tournament money, the pool of money that the conference gets, $72 million handed out to each school. And they're saying that basically a $2 million loss on tennis is too much.
But that $3 million loss on a quarterback is not. On that busted quarterback that doesn't perform well.
This is from an Arkansas, Texas, from an Arkansas message board. We spent $2.35 million on men's and women's tennis last season, placing us 14th out of 16 SEC teams. So they weren't even spending on tennis.
They like, y'all ain't even good.
But only approximately $2 million behind what Tennessee spent at number two in the conference. Texas A&M spent almost $10 million. Yeah, Texas A&M, like that's a whole different. If Texas A&M starts cutting sports, then we got a real problem.
We got a real problem.
Texas A&M, literally, you talk about
Texas Tech, Texas A&M. Yeah.
Yeah. If those places start cutting sports, then that's just ridiculous because they've got, you know what kind of money. They've got that money. But so if this $2.35 million is 14th out of 16 SEC teams, they're at the low. I'm assuming then, like, that's the, like, to have a tennis program, a men's and women's tennis program, that's probably the cost of it. Whether you're Memphis or whether you're Arkansas, that's just the cost of having tennis programs. So if Arkansas can't handle that loss, how can Memphis? How could Southern Miss or Arkansas State or, again, any non-power conference school where you're cashing a check every year of like $5 or $6 million from your conference, they're cashing a $72 million check, and they say $2 million isn't enough to keep it. That is, I'm telling you, man, that could open a can of worms because, like,
I think it has opened a can of worms.
It's like, oh, if other schools go, oh, okay, this is what we're doing. And it's not like Arkansas is getting lambasted for it. Like, it's kind of like everybody went, oh, yeah, makes sense.
It's a small niche sport, and they're looking at it as it's a niche deal. They don't mean much. It don't mean nothing what they're trying to do on Saturdays in the fall or what they want to do in the winter with basketball or whatever. It's not lining up that way, but it's unfortunate, man.
Neil texts, and he says it could get interesting because SEC schools have to have a number of programs per the charter.
Right.
And I don't know what that number is. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if every one of them ends up right at that number. Like, if there's any extras, sorry.
Or they just pick on tennis. No more SEC tennis all the way around. You know?
I mean, that's I don't know. Like that, when I saw that, it blew me away. I was like, whoa, we've got an SEC school cutting a program because they basically can't afford it, just over a $2 million loss.
And people don't really think about the significance of that. That's why I'm glad that you brought this up, because it's like, yo, this is really a big deal. You know, when you start talking about cutting the smaller stuff and you're putting a bigger central focus on, you know, the grand scheme of
it. Because the thing is this, Hunter Yurachek isn't the only AD who is thinking this.
Exactly.
Like, they're all looking at this. Yeah. They're all going, where can we save money? Right. Because we need more money for football and basketball to compete.
And
where is it that let's look at our sports.
And I hear a coach like Kelvin Sampson talking about Houston, like, we can't continue to keep doing this going forward. And he's in a power conference now. He's no longer in the American or one of the smaller conferences now. He's in the big dog conference and in Texas, in the state of Texas. And he's like, I don't know if we're going to be able to to sustain this going forward. Something's going to have to give.
Yeah, I guarantee you that he's not like Hunter Yurachek isn't the only AD who's been looking at line item sheets and going, where can we cut? And if he thought of, hey, let's just get rid of the sport, I guarantee other ADs are looking at it that way. And we'll see how many more of these we get.
I think, guarantee we're going to see more.
And again, at the non-power level, I mean, these ADs got to be like, well, hell yeah. Like, if this is acceptable, if we're doing this, I'm on board. Paul says, I saw a picture last week of the Tennessee women's golf team flying back to Knoxville on a private plane showing off their championship trophy. Yeah, they won the national championship. I would guess during the year they ain't flying on that private plane. I don't know. They might.
And don't they women have their own athletic department in Tennessee?
Yeah, theirs is. Yeah, they're women. Yeah, they kind of are separate. But I bet they don't fly private during the year. That was probably because it's the national championship. And you just won a national championship. You treat them a little respect.
Right.
But even like for the NCAA tournament, stuff like that, they might fly them. Charter for that stuff.
Regular season schedule.
But the regular season,
we're seeing them at the Memphis International.
They're busing. They're busing to a lot of the stuff, and they're flying probably commercial.
Yeah.
But congratulations, by the way, to the Tennessee women's golf team. But, yeah, man, this is going to be something to keep an eye on of where this goes. If Arkansas can't afford a $2 million loss on tennis, what can these other schools possibly afford? We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two. Coming up in hour number three, Matt Reiser, head coach of the Memphis baseball team will be here as he joins us again, as he does each and every Monday. If you want to chime in on the program, you certainly can. The Sissy's Log Cabin listener line is open to you at 901-360-8255, 360-8255. When I'm driving around, I look at different houses and places and businesses, and you see some dirty places. The exterior of your home gets dirty, and most people don't think about cleaning it. The roofs, especially roofs, grime and mold and mildew and things like that that you see on roofs around Memphis, man, that damages the roof. That hurts the roof, probably limits the life of that roof. You want to keep that stuff off your roof, keep that stuff off your home. And then when you're talking about driveways, sidewalks, and patios, that types of stuff, you want to keep it clean. You want to keep it looking great, and it makes it last longer. All you got to do is give a call to my boy Roderick Hall at Hall Power Washing Solutions. That's all you got to do is pick up the phone, 258-1399, 258-1399. Or you can just go to hallpowerwashingsolutions.com. That's H-A-L-L, hallpowerwashingsolutions.com. Right there on the website, you can see examples of the work they do. You can get a quote. You can get all the details about all the different services they offer. They serve the entire area. They will come and get your business, your home, all of the surroundings looking like new once again. Mentioned he posted something, Roderick posted something last week, I believe it was, a driveway that like never been cleaned in 30 years. He goes in there, that thing looked like it looked brand new, looked like it was just laid. It was unbelievable. But that's the type of work they do, Hall Power Washing Solutions. So give them a call, 258-1399, 258-1399, or go to hallpowerwashingsolutions.com. Back to wrap up hour number two right after this, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Isn't it a lovely morning?
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers. Exactly. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back to 8:53 in the Family Leisure Studio. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers. So I got a text from Wayne. He says, it's ridiculous to say Arkansas can't afford to lose money on a tennis program. Come on, man. Let the lawsuits begin. I don't, there's nothing you could sue. I don't, there's no way you could sue and say, like, you have to have tennis, or don't say they have to have tennis or whatever. And they're paying the guy, the players that are there now, if they do want to stay, which I don't know why they would, they will be paid their scholarships. So they still have their scholarships. Here is the, so just to put this in another way, the SEC for the fiscal year 2025, $1.1 billion is what they distributed. Again, $72.4 million paid to the 14 oldest members. And again, Texas and Oklahoma aren't getting it. The year before was $53.8 million per school. So they, in 1 year, they got $19 million in new money. Obviously, there was $20 million in revenue sharing money that came aboard, all that stuff. They got $19 million, and they said, nah, tennis, can't do it.
Can't do tennis.
Can't do tennis. Here's, I've got another text, and this is an interesting point. Most rosters, talking about tennis here, most rosters are almost entirely made up of foreign talent. I think that plays into Arkansas's decision. They would handle the $2 million expense if the team was made up of players from Wynn, North Little Rock, Forest City, and a few others from the Southeast. That is an interesting point.
Good point.
Because it, there may not be as much of an uproar because we're not taking places from our own,
right? And they won't miss them anyway because they don't see them, they don't know.
Yeah, the local people are, I don't know, like right. Our high schools aren't, you know, our high school kids aren't losing spots because they don't have a tennis program
until that one great tennis prodigy that grows up in Fayetteville that wants to be at Hog and can't, you know, be a Razorback and play tennis and represent their country one day or whatever the case may be.
But that is, that's an interesting point of looking at it that way. Like they're like, listen, it doesn't. And again, I don't know. Well, again, I assume that's probably most of the budget? Is that recruiting? I don't know how you how they do the recruiting internationally and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, they're like, if you're a local product, you're like, well, they didn't hurt my sport. They didn't take any spots away from our kids. So who cares if they got rid of tennis? Just don't let them get rid of this or whatever, where we're sending kids to Arkansas to play these sports like track. You know, they got a great track and field program, or maybe it's volleyball or whatever. Well, these are our kids that are playing that sport. They better not take that sport away from us.
You think that if we do have that prodigy kid that comes along, whether it's volleyball or golf or whatever the case may be, that an athletic program that probably wasn't funding or decided to take something away, you think if they had a prodigy appear on their campus that was marketable, that can help grow the sport, you think that they would push behind it at that point?
Maybe. But again, tennis is hard.
It's a hard, right, exactly.
You know, yeah, like volleyball, like some volleyball programs are
kind of
unbelievable.
Like now, that, anyway.
Like Nebraska, yeah. Like that's, right. Like, I don't know what all of, again, I don't know what the next sports would be. Like, I don't know, because I don't know the cost of each sport and what it's bringing in, where they might look beyond tennis, but certainly tennis is an obvious one. And again, I have to believe all of these ADs, all these schools are looking at this going, how do we save money? And if they're doing this, by golly, we're going to start doing this. Because now all these people are like, wait a second, Arkansas just got $2 million extra dollars to spend on basketball and football. We got to find $2 million extra to spend on football and basketball. Or we're going to be behind them. It's like it just one when one does it, everybody's like, okay, we got to do that too. Then we can't let them have an extra $2 million on us. $72 million check, can't afford a $2 million loss in tennis. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. But it is what it is at this point. When we come back, we're going to talk some baseball, some college baseball. University of Memphis. Matt Reiser will join us coming up next as we kick off hour number three. Still got some more NBA playoffs to get into as well, and some other things like Major League Baseball. We had a firing over the weekend in Major League Baseball. We'll get to all that in hour number three. Sports 56 mornings here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get